When we move through this season and we approach Pentecost and all of the sense of expectancy and hope and confusion and bewilderment that kind of goes with that, one of the things that we can experience is this sense, you know, if only we'd actually been there in person. If only we'd seen Jesus and ate with him and seen the miracles that he performed, saw the mighty works that he did, it would make it all so much easier, so much clearer. Yeah, I think that's mistaken somewhat, because for the disciples, they were just as confused, perhaps even more so, than we are. And they were just as ready to deny him, to run away from him, to look out for themselves rather than for the gift of God. So I'm not sure that they were any better off than we are. In fact, if we trust in the gospel today, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will be with you. I will open the door for you. You will be able to understand and to experience the very life of the Father. All of these gifts, all of these powers, because the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Helper, all of these different words that try and express this sense of who the Holy Spirit is going to be. And another one, we're told. So Jesus is already functioning in this way, offering this gift to the disciples. And so the Holy Spirit is going to fulfill this and bring it to its completion. But we can easily, so easily, misunderstand what the gift of the Holy Spirit is about if we don't really understand what God is like, what power, what authority is all about. And so I want to think about kind of a room that has these four different people in them, representing different kinds of powers. The first is the dictator is, you know, ruthless, he's powerful, you know, able to build himself up by his brutality, by the way that he will crush any opposition, anyone that stands in his way. He will either himself take vengeance upon, or he will use his military or his power, all of these. The sense of, we've seen so many dictators, you know, across the world, these little men, it seems, who wants to crush and to oppress. And they seem so powerful. They seem so mighty. There's another person, though, that's in the room there this day. The athlete. So the athlete is at the very peak of his performance and is able to be the very best in his chosen track and field events. He's able to win all of the gold medals. He's able to be so sleek and so graceful and so swift. Everyone adores him. Everyone is able to honor and give thanks for the gift of the power of the athlete. The third one is the rock star. And the rock star, you know, often is there, able to compel us, able to captivate us with her beautiful singing. She's able to win over a whole stadium full of people. We all swoon along to her. We all join in the anthems that she belts out. We're all able to recognize her and to honor her. And she's able to compel us just by the power of her charisma and the gift of her personality. But there's a fourth person who's there in the room on this particular day. And it's just this little baby there lying helplessly in a crib. And the baby seems so useless. It's not able to speak. It's not able to talk to us. It's not able to offer any great insights. And yet when there's a baby in a room, you see this transformation that happens to all of us who are there. We begin to watch what we say. We begin to change our behavior. We begin to conform ourselves, because this baby is captivating us and capturing us somehow. And in so many ways, it's the baby represents the way of God for us. You know, so often we think that it's the powerful, or it's the fastest, or it's the one with the best voice, or the most wealthy, or all of those things we look for. But often it's simply the way of vulnerability that actually connects us. Vulnerability helps us to move from that little world that we've locked ourselves in, that world of selfishness, that world where we're the number one. And the way of God calls us to be connected, to be part of that community. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that sense of drawing us out of ourselves and allowing us to be part of the church, part of this community of God's people, so that we're no longer just locked in a little world, but we discover this beautiful, wonderful, rich world of power and giftedness. One of the things is that there are these different words that speak about power and authority. In the Greek New Testament, there are these three words that we discover. Dunamis or dynamis is the most common word that's there. And from that word in English, we get the word dynamic, we get the word dynamite. You know, that sense of power that is able to really change and transform a situation. Another word that's used is the word energia. And again, we were able to recognize that pretty easily as the word energy. But there's this third word that is less often used, but it's usually used in terms of the ministry of Jesus, especially when he's healing people, when he's bringing new life and redemption to people. It's the word exousia. That's where we get the word exorcism from. And it's ultimately about authority. I mean, authority itself is formed from those two different parts. Authors, rights, authority is where we get that sense. And so it's that sense of being part of something bigger, part of the gift of God himself, the author of all life, the author of everything that is good. And so when Jesus speaks with authority, when he exorcises, it's able to be caught up in that flow of life and that gift of recognizing that we're not the one who's doing this, that we're just simply part of the gift of God, part of this flow of life, part of the flow of goodness. Because if we're looking for God to be a superhero, if we're looking for God to be the one who will come swooping down and solve all of our problems and take out all of those bad people in the world that we sometimes hear certain people kind of saying that that's their role, is to do all of that, we've so misunderstood the way of God. We've so misunderstood the power of God, because God is ultimately the power of the baby wanting and calling us, cajoling us through that innocence and through that the gift of life itself, inviting us to connect, inviting us to be part of God's great and wonderful world. Because there is that superhero that's available to us, but it's not the way of power. It's not the way even necessarily of the beauty of the voice or the physical strength or prowess, but it is that way of vulnerability, that way of simply being open, being used by God, being open to the power of God flowing through us. And that allows us indeed to do those exorcisms, to connect ourselves once again with God's people, to allow someone to find their place within God's good purpose, to find that sense of healing, to find that sense of purpose. Because it's only when we know ourselves to be profoundly, deeply, honestly loved by God that we are in that place where we can keep his commandments, where we're in that place where we can be used by him. And then we will do those extraordinary things that Jesus promises. We will do even greater works than these, Jesus says, when we use his name. And it's not just simply saying, you know, in Jesus' name we ask this or whatever in our prayer, but it's allowing God to be at the very center of our lives, allowing God to change us and transform us, allowing ourselves to be in tune with the work and the wonder of God. And then miracles begin to happen.